A noted former CIA operative talks to us about cybersecurity. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Just 2 days after the FDA approved a pill that enhances sexual desire in a limited number of women, the medicine's maker seems to be cashing in or cashing out. A report in the Wall Street Journal today says Sprout Pharmaceuticals is about to get purchased for $1 billion by an international pharmaceutical giant. Marketplace's Scott Tong is following this for us.
Now, the company buying, according to the reports, is Valeant Pharmaceuticals. It's the biggest drug company in Canada. And it apparently likes to buy other companies. Last year, it spent about $8 billion in deals like this. So why now? Well, the maker of these pink libido pills, Sprout Pharmaceuticals, is a small private company in North Carolina that some suspected might cash in perhaps by going public, perhaps by selling itself to another company. Now, we won't be seeing a bunch of these TV ads for the Addy drug for a while. It will not be marketed directly to patients for 18 months. The FDA found that this medicine has significant side effects, risk of fainting, severe low blood pressure, especially if you drink before you take this medicine. So Sprout has agreed only to market it to doctors, the prescribers, for now.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you. If it wasn't mainstream before, it is mainstream now. The act of applying your personal values to your investment portfolio. Standard & Poor's, which brings us the much-followed S&P 500, now has a new index for Catholic investors. This new socially responsible investment tool is called the Catholic Values Index, and it excludes S&P 500 companies that are linked to arms production or labor abuses, but notably sticks with fossil fuels, an energy source Pope Francis focused on in his recent encyclical on climate change. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
There are literally billions of dollars sitting around in Catholic investment portfolios, archdiocese pension funds, Catholic university endowments, church investment clubs. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops sets guidelines for how that money should be invested ethically. And that's what S&P is following, says Alka Banerjee, head of global equity indices.
They do not want to invest in nuclear weapons, adult entertainment, conventional military sales, child labor, and also abortion and stem cell activity.
So far, the bishops haven't taken aim at Catholic investments in coal, oil, and gas stocks. Jared Pfeiffer, an expert on socially responsible investing at Baruch College, expects that could take a while.
Divest in fossil fuels. I don't think it's mainstream yet. I'm not aware of a lot of mutual funds that have taken a stance on this.
S&P has a list of other socially responsible indices for investors committed to sustainability, carbon efficiency, and Islamic law. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. Market players are focused on the continued turbulence on Chinese stock markets and signs of weakness in the Chinese economy. The CSI 300 index in Shanghai fell more than 3% today. A lot of the drop toward the end of the trading session, repeating a pattern from earlier this week. On the Hong Kong exchange, where bigger, more established companies tend to trade, the Hang Seng index fell 1.75% and has entered so-called bear market territory. The FT 100 in London is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range. This week we learned that hackers who got into the Internal Revenue Service's computers were able to see about 300,000 tax returns, triple the count from when the story first broke in the spring. Couple this with hackers who broke into the federal government's Office of Personnel Management computers, and what you get is a national security threat. Valerie Plame is the former CIA operative whose identity was famously revealed to the public, not by hackers, but by a senior official in the George W. Bush administration. She's now an advisory board member for the cybersecurity firm Global Data Sentinel. Ms. Plame, good morning.
Good morning.
You've called the Office of Personnel Management intrusion, I think you said it was absolutely catastrophic. What makes this such a threat?
When you have foreign operators, and in this case, it appears that the perpetrators were Chinese, although that hasn't been confirmed, we're just giving them all this information that they can then use, turn around to target American citizens.
You know, I've read the John le Carré novels, and so, you know, I know in fiction what could be done with information like this, but do you think in the real world you could extract information from the OPM database and then, what, like track down family members in foreign countries and twist their arms into helping foreign powers?
Absolutely, and it doesn't have to be quite that thriller-esque, if you will. When you apply for a government job, you're required to fill out long forms of your medical background, where you've lived, who your relatives are, all of that. all that information is gold to a foreign intelligence officer. Hypothetically, let's say it is the Chinese that have, in fact, perpetrated this hack. Probably first on their priority list, looking at Chinese Americans, those that have relatives still in mainland China, they know then that they can apply some significant pressure on those relatives to manipulate and push the American citizens that have access to intelligence of interest.
Now, right now, Congress is debating a bill which would encourage private companies to share computer intrusion information and thefts of information from their computers with each other, with other companies and the government. Do you see a greater role for the government to play in working with industry this way?
You can't always attract the brightest and the best, because government salaries simply pale by comparison to anything that's available in the private sector. So I think that the government's role will be that they are providing guidance to the industry, putting in guidelines, and make sure that companies are taking proactive steps to protect their information.
Valerie Plame used to be much in the news for her role working for the CIA. She's now an advisory board member for the cybersecurity firm Global Data Sentinel. Ms. Plame, thank you for this.
Thank you.
I did also ask about the privacy implications of the recent New York Times story suggesting that AT&T had worked enthusiastically to help the National Security Agency spy on the Internet. Plame called that an example of the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower once warned about. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.